Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone.
You open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be talking Twilight Zone.
Hello, folks. I'm Lynn, and I'm your host for Talking Twilight Zone, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Bobby, Nia, Robert, and Dave. Hello, guys. How's
Hello.
Everybody?
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, just passing by. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Just passing through.
You can shake on the night tree.
Well, I hope everyone is having a great weekend so far. And here in Seattle, Washington, we had what Seattleites consider a blizzard, 3 measly inches, but it's enough for this very strange little city to come to a complete halt.
Buses hey, I'll trade you running. Our freezing rain for that.
No, but you wouldn't. Had... No, you yeah, wouldn't, well... trust me.
That's what we had.
Buses stop running, airports close, people become frantic, but interestingly enough...
Well, you're from Philadelphia, you ought to be used to that by
now. No, I am used to it. That's my point. 3 inches in Philadelphia or Baltimore is laughable. Nobody even thinks twice about it. But yet in
Trust
Seattle,
me, Baltimore goes crazy over 3 inches. Trust me.
Well, yeah, I guess Baltimore does. But in Philadelphia, nobody does. I mean, Philadelphia, 3 inches is considered a dusting. Here, it gets insane. They don't plow. They get frantic, but they don't plow. And
they get about 10 miles an hour, don't they?
10? Try 3. Try 3 miles an hour. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is horrible here. And it's just awful. It really is. And they
I hear the sirens in the background, so you must be having some activity going on there.
Oh, that's been all weekend. That's been all weekend, even earlier in the week. And they don't salt. You go up to like gas stations or a 7-Eleven or places like that, convenience stores, supermarkets. They don't even throw salt on the ground. They don't plow. They don't salt. But yet they're very frantic. So why aren't they prepared for it? Because they're not used to it. I don't know.
Well, they just
crazy.
Don't have enough coffee to put on the roads to melt the snow there. When you know how that goes in Seattle.
That's true. That's
not enough
true.
Starbucks to put on the road.
Yeah, and they have enough of them here. Well, it's pretty much cleared up today. And life in Seattle is almost getting back to normal. And I couldn't be happier. But you had freezing rain? Freezing rain?
Yeah, 20-some degrees out and we still got freezing rain. Imagine that. Must
have
been warm up in the upper atmosphere.
You didn't have any snow?
Yeah, we did. We had snow. I wish I would rather have the snow than the freezing rain.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really do.
And
but,
your local weather report brought to you by Talking Twilight Zone. So that means folks stay in and listen to our review instead of going out in the nasty weather.
That's
how about you, Dave? You guys get any snow over there yet, or is it still?
Scotland has. It's been mainly just high winds. But that's been the dominant thing the last 3 or 4 weeks here in the UK.
Well, that's good.
Mm. He said Scotland got the most. He said Scotland got the most.
Well, you got hit last
Dave,
year real bad, Dave. I remember that. You got hit with that one.
Oh, did you really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, without going on about it, I mean, it's funny that we every year is very different here in the UK. You know, some years you don't have a summer. Some years you don't have a winter. It's very strange.
Well, that's all right. In Seattle, you never really get a summer. So you get rain 9 months out of the year, so you can't really count any summers here. But, Dave, you're saying you're hearing an echo from Bobby?
I think it was picking up the noise from outside your flat. It was just coming on Bobby's. Just watch out for the names lighting up.
Okay, if you do hear an echo from me, let me know. All right, well, today's episode is titled The Passersby. We will turn it over to Robert for the opening clip.
And now, Mr. Serling.
This road is the afterwards of the Civil War. It began at Fort Sumter, South Carolina, and ended at a place called Appomattox. It's littered with the residue of broken petals and shattered dreams. In just a moment, you will enter a strange province that knows neither north nor south. A place we call the Twilight Zone.
I'm going to do something a little different today because I think it's a good idea to mix things up a bit once in a while to avoid getting into a rut. So I'm going to ask Robert to give his review of the episode first. And another reason is because this is one of those episodes that have varying opinions at our Twilight Zone group. Some liked it, some didn't.
Yeah, she wanted to hold my feet under fire there, folks. That's one reason why.
You really liked it, though, Robert. So you first today, then give it to Dave, and then Dave gives it to me. We're going to change up a little.
Are you going
to
do the synopsis before we go into it? Or?
Oh, that's right. My goodness.
Good
Did
idea.
Did I forget about
yeah.
that? Well, this starts out.
Okay. Gives me a little bit of reading here. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, the passersby starts out with what looks like a war-ravaged home. And it belongs to a woman named Lavinia, who lived there with her husband at one time before he went off to war. And in the background, you see a number of soldiers. And I guess it's soldiers and civilians, but you see people just walking one by one by one on this road past her house. And they just keep coming and coming and coming. And finally, this one Confederate sergeant, he has a wooden leg, and he stops to rest in front of her house, so I guess it's a mansion or a house, and he asks her if he could just stop and rest there and get some water. And of course she, you know, is more than happy to oblige. She strikes up a conversation with her, and she tells him that she was once married to a wonderful man named Judd, and he was killed by the Yankees. And because of that, it has bred like this incredible hatred in her for Yankees. And she tells him that she would be happy to just take her gun and shoot one down dead just to make up for what happened to her husband. And they have quite a bit of conversing going on back and forth about everything, really, as far as the war, about her feelings, about, you know, how she felt about her husband. And he sings. He has a what he calls a git box. It's a guitar that he built, I guess, built himself during this time in the war. And he sings, "Black is the color of my true love's hair." And Lavinia tells him that her husband played the guitar, and he used to sing that same song. So this made her even more sentimental. And you see the tears coming down her face. And at one point, a soldier comes along, and his face is darkened out, and he's on a horse, and he asks the sergeant if he can have some water. And the sergeant seems to recognize his voice and finally realizes that this is a Yankee soldier that saved his life. And he says he's more than happy to give him some water. He thinks that the lady of the house would be happy to know him, and he turns around. Next thing you know, Lavinia's standing there with a shotgun, and she's ready to shoot this Yankee. But you still can't see his face. And the sergeant says, "No, he saved my life. You got to understand, he saved my life." And he grabs the gun from her, and she goes to shoot him. And she misses, even though she was shooting him point blank. She misses. And he says, "You know, is this your pleasure?" Well, first of all, before she goes to shoot him, he says, "Is this your pleasure?" And she says, "Yes, it's my pleasure, my duty." And she goes to shoot him, and she misses. And after that, the sergeant holds a lamp up to his face, hands him the water, holds the lamp up to his face, and sees that his eyes were burned out, but they were burned out when he tried to save the sergeant's life. And he said, "Oh, I thought you were dead. I thought you were dead." And he says, "Well," he says, "that doesn't matter now anyway." And he starts to walk on. He says, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." And finally, Judd decides that he has to leave. The sergeant decides he has to leave. And before he leaves, though, Judd, the woman's wife, Lavinia's husband, comes running up to the house, and he says, "There's my wife." And she wants him to stay. She doesn't want him to leave, but he explains to her that they're dead. he tells her that they're dead. And she says, no, no, she won't accept this. They're alive. And he says, no, I'll see you down at the end of the road. And he walks off, too. And the sergeant leaves. And everybody is leaving her. And finally, the last person to come down the road is Abraham Lincoln. And he asks her why she's crying. And she tries to explain to him that, you know, her husband has left. Everyone has left her. And he says that he is the last casualty of the Civil War. And that he, too, is dead. And finally, she realizes that she's dead. And she goes taking off after Judd. And then everybody ends up walking down that road. And at the very end, you just see her running up to Judd and dirt road. And that's where everybody's going to their hereafter. And that is, you know, how it descends. And I know I got a few little details mixed up, but, you know, I wasn't really prepared to go with the review first. So now I'm going to send this over to Robert.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Yeah, I'm usually used to your little synopsis of the story, so I figured
out
probably
what you
wanted to
do. Yeah, I kind
of
botched that up a little bit.
Actually, I'm going to kind of disagree with the part that you said, and even though you said that she missed, because I don't think being that close, what, maybe about 5 to 10 feet and shooting the gun off, that you could miss from that distance. So I think she did shoot with the discovery of him not being alive. A lot of things just didn't click for her until the very end. This was one of my favorites, and I guess, like Lynn said, we're going to have some various how people look on this episode. I like the actor, I think it was Austin Green, who portrayed Abraham Lincoln. I think he did a pretty good job. And, you know, in comparison to other, you know, actors that played Abraham Lincoln, like, you know, Hal Holbrook, and I think Gregory Peck did in the Blue and the Gray. Definitely, I like the very end of this.
Oh. You're staying behind, my dear? Maybe it's not so wise.
Oh. I'm afraid.
Of course you are. And I am too. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it'll come. That's from Shakespeare. Julius Caesar. You see, my dear, I'm dead too. I guess you might say I'm the last casualty of the Civil War.
The thing with this episode is it can go either way for some people. I mean, for some people, it could just be the worst thing that there ever was. On the other hand, you know, people who enjoy history like myself, I got to go to the Abraham Lincoln Museum there in Springfield, look around there, which is quite a big, vast place. And they had different exhibits. They had Abraham Lincoln's original hat and some of the furniture and stuff that he had during the time he was president. And so you kind of got a little bit of a feel for president and also the historical parts of how many people were killed during the Civil War and stuff like that. So if you are into history, you would like probably something like this, or maybe not. It just depends. I think what we're starting to get to in these stories is individual tastes. And, you know, some people may be more receptive to this as myself. You know, I was very receptive to this story. I remember it when I was younger. It usually showed on the marathons when they do the Twilight Zone marathons. Very much reminded me of The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
One movie that I really enjoy and can tie into this.
You know the accident up there?
Yeah.
The lady, she broke her neck.
Oh my God, where is she?
Standing next to my window.
You have a secret, but you don't want to tell me.
I see dead people.
anything? Are you sure they're there?
They're everywhere.
They want me to do things for them.
I think that they know that you're one of these very rare people who can see them, so you need to help them.
What if they don't want to help?
I don't think that's the way it works.
How do you know for sure?
Not every gift.
Is anyone there?
Is a blessing.
Look out!
The Sixth Sense.
Please make them leave.
I'm working on it.
Also, there was an episode of MASH that aired season 10 called Follies of the Living, Concerns of the Dead. And it was about the ghost of a recently dead soldier who wanders to the 4077 refusing to believe he's dead. Only Klinger, delirious with a high fever, could see him. And
oh, I remember that episode. That was really good.
Yeah, after Klinger was cured, he asked about what happened to the soldier because he knew the soldier by his first name or last name, and they said that he was dead. But he was the only one that could see him. So very much, if you remember, towards the end of that episode, you seen the soldiers walking up this dirt road. Very much just like the passerby.
I'm dead? Because I don't feel dead.
Hey, you gotta talk to him, will you? I don't think I'm dead.
I mean it! Look at him. He's gonna give me last rites. They're gonna put me in a bag, stick me in a truck, and that's gonna be it. And I do not feel dead. Can't you do something about it?
What can I do? Dead is dead, right? Right, Father?
Just give me a minute now, Clinger. I have to concentrate. Am I dead or what?
I don't want to die. Who wants to die? I don't want to die.
You're not going to die. No, no, please.
I didn't bring the subject up. Weston did.
Weston is dead.
Don't tell me. Tell him.
One Wallet Brown.
One Wallet Brown. Any money in it?
Yeah, wait a sec.
My mother gave me that wallet before I went away. And it's genuine calfskin. It used to be stamped in gold there, but with all the heat and sweat and everything, the letters just wore off. It smelled great the day I got it. I love the smell of leather.
2360.
2360.
One picture. Look at that sweet, fresh face.
One picture.
It's Sarah Lee Pinter. I could still taste her kiss from when we said goodbye.
Did you have sweethearts when you were in school, Father?
Yes, I did, actually. In fact, when I was 12, I was a champion at spin the bottle.
Uh-huh.
No matter where Patricia Dugan sat, I could always put just the right English on that bottle to make it point right to her.
Uh-huh.
She has 6 children now. I wonder if I put ideas into her head when she was 12.
I remember school so well. It was only 200 years ago. One ring.
One ring.
Boy, that brings back a lot of memories. That's my high school ring. I never take it off. What's it doing in that box?
West.
Let me say I buy you a beer, Father.
Yes, I think so. Thank you.
My God. I think I'm dead.
Hey, over here. Hey, come on, it's this way.
Where do we go?
Down there, come on.
What did you think it would be like?
I didn't know.
Where are we going?
I don't know.
There's not much plot to this. I do agree with that. Basically, it's just, you know, people walking up a road. But it kind of gives you the sense of, if you think of Gone with the Wind, I very much looked at Lavinian as a scarlet character, sitting there on the porch, you know, fanning herself with the soldier coming up there asking for water, sitting there talking. Pretty much something that we reviewed about the five characters in search of an exit, where it's kind of a character piece. You kind of get a little bit of a character piece with this one as well, because there's not really much action, but it's just the whole realization of this episode that they're dead, and they don't realize it, which is the twist at the end, kind of like the twist we talked about with, you know, five characters in search of an exit as well. James Gregory as the sergeant, he was pretty good, and of course we talked on the last show, he was in Barney Miller. He appeared as the superior in the Matt Helm movies to Dean Martin character. Yeah. So you know, Gregory's had a pretty good career, but it felt like the ending to a movie, the whole episode. You know, this, the war ends, and this is the result. You have the dead soldiers who didn't make it back home, walking up this road, going to either purgatory or heaven or hell or wherever their spirit end up. I think if you were watching this for the first time, I think it'd be a great twist to realize. I don't know if you would realize if there was any hints to show they were dead, except for here again, like I mentioned about the gunshot. Could it give you the realization there that they were pretty much dead? But yeah, I give this a 4 out of 5. I thought this was an excellent, and as I said before, I mean, it could go either way on this one. Just being a fan of history, seeing lots of movies on the Civil War, going through, you know, the museum that they had for Abraham Lincoln there, all that stuff is one reason why I gave this. So it more, maybe to me, a personal taste than really the reality of the story itself. So with that, I'll pass it on to Dave.
Let me unmute myself. Can you hear me? Yeah. I'm so busy trying. I've got so many pages open here, I couldn't get to the mute button.
Oh, I threw you a curveball on that one, Dave. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we changed things up a little bit today.
I didn't get, as guest sponsors put in the thing, it's a long while since I've watched this. I was going to try and rewatch it before today's show, but it had been removed from YouTube and things, so I didn't actually get to rewatch it, but just rereading the synopsis reminded me enough to make quite a few comments. Of course, while I've been talking and Lynn mentioned about Judd, I've got I used to like musicals, so I've got the old song from Oklahoma coming in my head, Poor Judd is Dead, a Candle Lights His Head. So I've been singing that to myself quite late. But when Robert was talking, also, there's some similarities, but at least 3 or 4 of the stories from Twilight Zone. Two that I actually managed to find very quickly, of course, is Stop at Willoughby, which has got a similar sort of a theme, and A Passage for a Trumpet, which is another one that's talking about realization, I suppose, of death. And there's another one which I can't remember the title of. The only memory I've got of it is a sort of a tramp walking down a road, and he comes to a fork in a road, I think, where there's a gate, and I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, that one's coming up.
The Hunt.
Yep.
Yeah, The Hunt with the dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, he was a tramp. He's just an old man. He was a hunter.
Right, and I think that dealt with the same thing without spoiling it for anybody. So, I seem to remember it was extremely slow-paced, but I do remember actually quite liking it, because it had that one of those sort of, you know, ethereal sort of themes to it, a little bit like, as I say, the Passage for a Trumpet, and I can quite often like those sort of ones, even though I do feel as though sometimes they are stretching the plot out paper thin, But I thought it had quite a nice resonance like that. The chap who plays the main character, where is he gone? James Gregory, one of the main characters. I noticed that he actually was in the very first Twilight Zone episode,
mm-hmm.
Where Is Everybody? So he was in that.
Yeah.
And the lady, Joanne Linville, is it?
Yeah.
Robert probably know her from Star Trek. She played...
I remember.
She played a Romulan commander in Star Trek and episode The Enterprise Incident. And she's been on an awful lot of things. Have Gun, Will Travel, Adventures in Paradise. Getting noises from your mic, Lynn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's more interesting than what I'm saying anyway, so there you go. Yeah,
I think Bobby got cut off.
Well, I'll be fairly brief just to say that I haven't got a great deal to say about it, but I do remember quite enjoying it when I saw it, and I do like those sort of things where they ponder things like this, and so although it was paper thin, for me it held up, and I do remember enjoying it. Whether if I watched it more recently I would have the same opinion, I'm not totally sure, but I do remember having a pleasant thought about that episode when I was reading through, you know, the reminder of it, as it were. So I would say I would give it certainly a 3 out of 5. Whether it merits more than that, I don't know. And I will pass it back to you, Lynn.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I can easily list a dozen or more snoozers or sleep-inducing episodes out of the 156 of the Twilight Zone series. I mean, let's see, from season one, I would pick The Four of Us Are Dying, The Last Flight, and The Big Tall Wish. I find all three appallingly bad and boring. And from season two, we have King Nine Will Not Return. I wish that it wouldn't return in the marathons or anywhere else. Exactly. Nervous Man in a $4 Room. Absolutely dreadful. The Mind and the Matter. Words can't describe this atrocity. Oh, I know.
I can't. No, I
think I see where this is going.
That Man in the $4 Room, I think that has some merit in the way the guy carried on the dialogue with himself in the mirror. I thought it was cleverly done, even if you didn't think it was an engaging episode.
I thought it had some merit.
And originally, Two and a Half Men did an homage to that episode, too. One of the characters is talking in the mirror to himself. Yeah.
As far as the acting, I mean, the guy in Nervous Man, I'll say the acting was fine, but the episode itself was just, my God, it just was boring. It was just so slow to me. I mean, that was my opinion. But, you know, and then we get to season three. And so far, you know, we had a couple of very good ones with Two and The Shelter. And then we had a couple of turkeys with The Arrival. And to me, The Passersby. I mean, there are still more we haven't gotten to yet in this season than the last few seasons. By the way, Rod Serling, he used to call bad episodes turkeys, so I find that description appropriate, which is why I used it. But good Lord, this episode could not have been more boring. I'm sorry, Robert, but what happens? What happens in this episode? Other than an endless stream of Civil War soldiers, now they're walking down a road past a rundown home inhabited by a widow named Lavinia, and she shows kindness to a sergeant who's tired and thirsty. And you know what happens? Nothing. Come on, sure, the dark, gloomy, war-ravaged atmosphere, that suited this episode just fine. But when you come right down to it, you need a compelling story to go with it. You need somewhat of an interesting story, at the very least. And I doubt there were very many viewers of average intelligence who didn't have the plot and ending of the story figured out within the first 7 to 10 minutes.
I did say it's paper thin. There's no doubt about it. It's a paper thin plot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was very obvious where this was going. When Lavinia ran up to her friend Charlie, and he showed no emotion, he had like this vacant look on his face. It was obvious he was only a ghost wandering to his destination. And that means what? It means that she could see him, and she could see the others, and the sergeant could see him and the others. They were goners, too. So
they were actually aliens at the other end of the road bringing victims into their ships.
See,
there, is that
Felix
better for
here.
You, Lynn, to believe that?
That's not bad. I'll go along with that. I'll accept that. Now, Felix here, Felix says, this show was one long death march of ghosts. Yes, it was a long death march of ghosts. I agree with you, Felix. But now Joanne Linville, I mean, she was good in her role. And I suppose the really moving moment was supposed to be Abe Lincoln walking up to her in the end and finally convincing her that she is indeed dead. And that was very nice.
Hey, some women like Shakespeare quoted to him, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's
from
right.
Abraham
he did
Lincoln.
Do that.
Yeah.
He did do that, yeah. That part was pretty decent. But it still wasn't good enough to get me excited about the episode. It was just, to me, it was plain boring and weak. And episodes that involve nothing but talk, and blah, 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 such as Nervous Man or King Nine, they're not worth the time. I mean, Twilight Zone's better than that. But no series is ever without its duds or turkeys. By the way, I'm going to nitpick here because Abe Lincoln was a very tall man. Wasn't he something like 6'5", 6'6"? And this guy who played him wasn't nearly tall enough. His facial features were great. I mean, he looked like Abe Lincoln, but he needed to be taller. We need to get a basketball player who looked like Abe Lincoln to play that role.
Well, most of them were taller than Lavinian anyway in that, so...
Well, that's true, but he needed to be even taller, I think. But Joanne Linville, I mean, she played a role well, I suppose. She recalled her role. I read this. She recalled her role in the episode by saying, "I thought to myself that this is what it's like. It was like to be an actress on the set of Gone with the Wind." Yeah, and you know that's great, but Gone with the Wind, that's a very classic movie, and this episode can't come close to Gone with the Wind. But she did have a pretty long, successful acting career. You mentioned that, Robert. I mean, she appeared in a lot of TV series and movies. She took roles on...
She was alive.
In The Fugitive. Yeah, she is still alive. I mean, she was in The Fugitive. She was in Alfred Hitchcock. She was in Barnaby Jones, Columbo, a lot of TV shows. And she even played, in the movie about James Dean. Oh, Hedda Hopper. She played in the movie James Dean about the legendary actor. And I think I'm starting to get a little echo, aren't I?
Yeah, it's from Bobby, yeah.
Yeah, it's from, okay, I'm going to mute Bobby for a second. Okay. But, and James Gregory, he was in the, as you mentioned, Dave, he was in the first episode of The Twilight Zone. And the one thing that I found interesting, he had no actual name in either of these episodes. In the episode Where Is Everybody, he was just the lieutenant,
general.
I believe. Or he,
the general.
General, yeah. Yep, and in this one, he's just sergeant, but he had no actual name. And also, he was allowed to keep that guitar, that square guitar. He was able to keep that after the production of The Passersby ended. He kept it for 20 years. And the other thing that I noted that... I think I noted in my review on the board, a lot of people, especially the critics, they said he was too old to play the sergeant in this episode. And, yeah, I agree maybe a little bit with that, but he pulled it off. You know, I didn't really have a problem so much with his age. But, you know, he did go on to be best known in Barney Miller as the inspector, and he took that role quite well. But other than that, I'm afraid I don't have a lot of good things to say about this episode. My rating is a 1. For poor. I'm so sorry, Robert. I see dead people, but they're not good enough.
They're not dead enough for you in this episode, huh?
No, I'm afraid not. But I'm going to put it over to Bobby.
You mean to tell me I'm unmuted? I was having such a good time being muted.
Sorry.
I was having such a good time being muted and mumbling under my breath as you all don't know what you're talking about.
Every now and then I get an echo when you're not muted, so I'm sorry.
Well, whatever. We've already pulled off a miracle here today because I never dreamed it would be possible to talk for 25 minutes about this episode. This is actually one of the worst of the series. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. And I can't believe, if Rod Serling said that certain episodes were turkeys, he should know. He wrote most of them. And he should have thrown this one in the fireplace. This is absolutely nothing. There's absolutely nothing going on here. You can guess what's happening from the minute it begins. And nothing goes on. You can always tell when something is really incredibly boring because the actors just kind of stand there.
looking like they're trying to make up something to say, but there's really nothing to say about it. It just is completely boring. And I wouldn't even compare this to some of those other episodes that have been named that are supposedly as boring as this. They're boring, all right, but I don't think anything compares to this. When we get to the end of the series, I'm planning on doing a show on the best and the worst episodes of the series. And I can tell you this will be well up on mine. May not be number one. I can think of a few others that are even worse, but it'll be well up there. It simply is deadly and dull, and there's just nothing going on in it at all. Somehow you get the feeling when it begins, you can just see that there's not going to be anything happening here, and nothing does. Now, over at IMDb, I always go to IMDb first to see what other people think in case I'm completely out of my mind. And it looks like I am completely out of my mind because it gets a 7.5 out of 10 over there. Of course, there are only six people.
They got it, Bobby. They got it.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, there's only six people doing reviews, which is not very many, and one of them did not like it. So it's 5-1 over there. It's beyond me how anybody can attribute that. I guess if you're a Civil War fan, it may be most Civil War fans like anything about the Civil War, no matter how boring it is. I'm not into the Civil War. That doesn't help any. But I just think it's boring and tedious and just doesn't go anywhere. I mean, yesterday, Lynn and I watched it again together. We always do that before we do a show to make sure we remember everything. And she watched it, and I fell asleep about 3 minutes into it.
You're just tired.
I am tired, but excuse me, but on TV, on DTV last night, they showed The Hitchhiker, and that's one of my all-time favorites. And I didn't fall asleep during that. But the thing about it is that, and I had to go back and watch it myself today because I wouldn't ask Lynn to watch it again. I wouldn't do that to anybody. And I watched it myself, and I had to sit up and hunch forward to give myself a backache in order to stay awake doing it. I just think it's just lousy, that's all. There's a lot of lousy episodes, but you know what? My feeling about Twilight Zone is that there are lousy episodes which stand out because there are so many really good ones. But today, I only wish I could look at TV today and say that was lousy. Usually on most things on TV today, I just shrug my shoulders and I say, well, there it is, more of the same. Another lousy episode. So it's quite different today. But I just didn't, I've never been a James Gregory fan, but, you know, I could overlook that if he was in a really compelling episode. Yeah, he was in the first one, it's true, but he didn't really do a whole lot. If I remember correctly, he didn't come in until the very end. Nothing going on here, that's all. I mean, if I had been really, really interested in the Civil War, I think it's possible, if you're some sort of historian or you're really interested in it, that you might look at this more favorably. But I can't look at it as anything, and I thought the acting was poor, with a lot of overacting. The woman, what's her name, Joanne Linville, is that her name?
Joanne Linville.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a lot of foolishness sitting there on the porch and using that phony Southern accent. You know, this is not Gone with the Wind, so don't try to make it into Gone with the Wind. I don't know what to say about it. It's just a lousy episode, and these things come along. You know, on the board, last time we did one on our group, and we did The Shelter, and the difference between that and this is like night and day. I mean, it's not even close. And so I don't think there's anything really to wonder about here when it begins. Why are these soldiers marching down the road and they seem to be completely out of it, so obviously they're dead. I mean, it doesn't take much to figure that out. So it's really not much of a surprise, and I don't know. I don't know. It's one of those episodes that I'm glad when it's over with because it did nothing for me. So Lynn gave it a 1. I'm afraid it would have to do a lot more for me to give it a 1. I gave it a 0. So we had negative ratings. I give it a negative rating. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Robert. That's good. That's what it's all about, different opinions. But I'm afraid that it did absolutely nothing for me. And now that we've done it on the show here, I intend to never, ever, 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 ever watch it again.
Wait until Silicon Valley comes up. There'll be a different opinion than that one. And
yeah,
it won't
be
like it was this one.
Yeah,
I know.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. If it comes on a marathon, you'll still watch it, Bobby. You know you will.
I'll sleep through it. It's a good way to get some sleep. Anybody out there who's having insomnia, turn this on. You'll be under in about 5 minutes, I guarantee it.
Well, see, we do disagree, though, on James Gregory, because I actually like James Gregory.
He's not one of my favorite actors. I don't hate him, but he's not one of my favorite actors, but he's not really given much to do here except to sit there and listen to that woman whine about everything. So
I agree with that, but I think But I think he's a good actor. I mean, I've liked him in almost anything I've seen him in. I liked him in Barney Miller. I've seen him in movies. And Felix just brought up something that I had forgotten. He played the gorilla General Ursus in Beneath the Planet of the Apes, and I completely forgot he was in that.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Well, I'm right here at the board, Bobby. Yeah, it's been, you know, it, except for a 4.5, a 5, and a 2, I mean, a 1.5, a 5, and a 4.5, you know, everybody gave it something on this. So,
we gave it
a 3. Somebody else beside me gave it a 4.
Someone besides you
gave it a lousy. So, yeah, across the board on this.
Okay,
yeah,
well.
A lot of varied opinions on it.
All right,
but,
okay.
Yeah, I mean... But these are the discussions I like when some people like it and some don't. I mean, it's fun when everybody agrees, but I think it's more fun when there's, you know, some that like it and some don't.
Okay. Well, I agree that it could have gone either way. I look the same with you, Lynn, and same with you, Bobby. I could see how it could go the other way as well.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so it's not, like I said, Lynn gave it a 1, but it's 0 as far as I'm concerned. It's just 0. I can't find anything to brag about. That's it from me, Lynn.
All right. Well, it looks like, unless anyone else has any other comments on this, does anyone have any other comments on this?
Well, I'll just add that, as I say, I gave my rating from memory of watching it. It may well be, as Bobby said, that if I watched it just recently, you know, currently, my rating is more probably likely to go down than up.
What do you think you give it?
I gave it a 3 because I was reading it, I had a reasonably good memory of it, but I do remember it was paper thin. I mean, it could have been over in 10 minutes, but you know, it did have a sort of a wistful atmosphere about it and one or two other things that I did like, but it was basically the bare minimum. He must have written it on one sheet of paper.
Yeah. I will give it good marks for atmosphere. I mean, they did the atmosphere very well as far as, you know, making it look like a very depressing and war-torn, you know, war-ravaged area. You know, you saw the darkness and it just was a very depressing setting, and that's what it was supposed to be for that. You know, but as far as being transparent as hell, I mean, you could see that, you know, it took, 7 to 10 minutes to say, hey, these are dead people walking through here, you know? And when she went up to Charlie Constable, you know, and walked right up to him, he's just standing there looking totally vacant, and she's talking to him, and he's not answering her. And she's, well, he was supposed to have been shot in the head. And she picks up the cap, and there's blood on it. Well, you know it. You knew these people are all dead. It didn't take long, but... You know, I'll give it marks for certain things. That's why I didn't give it a 0. There were some things that were admirable about it, but not good enough to go past a 1, in my opinion. But anyway,
looks
like... Yeah,
there's a lot
like
of things you can do with dry ice, so I guess that's a good thing.
That's right. Good one. Well, it looks like our next episode is on... March 4th?
No,
March
February.
4th, and
you're skipping a whole month.
Oh, what am I saying?
There.
Oh, man. I'm pushing this year ahead,
aren't
I? Believe
me, if I could, I would skip February, too, because I know what we're in store for here. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, February 4th. Saturday, February 4th, 2 weeks from now, and we're going to be discussing a game of pool with the legendary Jack Klugman and the inimitable Jonathan Winters. Felix says, I love pool. Well, Jonathan Winters and Jack Klugman are two legendary performers, and you got to love them both. So Felix likes that episode. So we will see what kind of discussion we can muster up for that one. I think that should be pretty interesting. And that's another episode that I think on the went across the board. So we'll see what happens with that one. I hope everyone will be back here for that. And was there a guest who ever here? No, I guess not. Okay. Guest who was here for a little while but then left. Okay, well, anyway, hopefully we'll see everybody here in 2 weeks on February 4th for a game of pool. And in the meantime, I hope everyone has a fabulous weekend, what's left of it, and hopefully there's no more snow in Seattle and no more snow anywhere or freezing rain. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. Okay.
This is where we would probably run the Frasier theme after that, Lynn.
God. So, Scrant, what is that? Oh, baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss
salad
and scrambled eggs.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss salads and scrambled eggs. Oh, my. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Well, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Frasier has left the building.
Tossed salad and scrambled eggs. Yes, over my face. Goodbye, everybody.
Frasier has left the building. All right, well, we're being silly. Okay, and that was your entertainment for the evening. So we will see you back on February 4th for a game of pool. So everyone have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Incident on a dirt road during the month of April, the year 1865. As we've already pointed out, it's a road that won't be found on a map. But it's one of many that lead in and out of the Twilight Zone.